the last couple of weeks that we were out here, Alan Carpenter come and join us out here like a sweat fest. But not today, Carp. It's gorgeous out here today, Carp.
Well, I'm sorry. I'd actually like to be called a lightweight sometimes. But, you know, think about it. Would you rather be in there with a junkyard babe or outside with you?
Well, I see that. I mean, I think that's what the case. You think I could draw a crowd? I feel like, I've been on the air in this town all these years now, and I got this microphone and these people. I figure I can draw a crowd. She's drawing a crowd. She's drawing a bigger crowd than I am. I mean, my gosh. Anyway, all right, so how you been, man? This week of the Braves continue to play good baseball. I mean, decent baseball. And luckily they get to play the Marlins and the Mets like, 19 times each. I mean, have you ever seen a team that is so bad record-wise be so good against teams in their division?
You know, it's kind of weird because certain teams seem to have good matchups. Philadelphia seems to play very well against Washington, for instance. You get these kind of things where teams just say, okay, we got these guys on the calendar and we've been able to handle them, and that gives them a confidence going in, and it seems to work sometimes. And right now that's certainly working with the Braves and the Mets and the Braves and the Marlins. We'll take it. We'll take whatever we get right now.
Yeah, well, and it certainly, I mean, it just goes to show how far they sank this season. We're not even tracking the win total anymore right now because it seems to be that they're a little bit out of the woods. But, I mean, it just goes to show how far they had sunk where you can have, I don't know, they've probably won 15 out of their last 20, 22 games, something like that. I the numbers probably. I know they've won 6 out of the last 10, but they're still so far back they can't even sniff anybody. All they're doing right now is covering Minnesota for the worst record in baseball.
Well, they're kind of sneaking up on some folks. They have won 8 out of their last 12, although dropped now 4 out of the last 6 with a couple against the Mets and now Cleveland last night too. Cleveland's a good test for them because I see Cleveland as essentially what the Braves are going to be in about 3 years or so. Cleveland built themselves up with a draft. They had some strategic free agent signings, but nothing too big. And they're doing it with pitching, and that's exactly the way the Braves are going to get going. But as they are climbing up a little bit, you see little milestones happening. For instance, now they have to get a little bit just under 500 for the rest of the year in order to match their season record from last year. Also, they are climbing. Guess who the next team is that they would pass if they continue to win a little bit in the majors? If they were, they got clear Minnesota by a couple of games.
Right.
The next team right now is the Angels, believe it or not.
Yeah. I was going to say,
how far are they falling?
Yeah. Of course, the Yankees are hovering around 500, so they got a way to get. Just feels like they could pass the Yankees. But, they're only 6 games behind Philadelphia now. Remember when Philadelphia was so far and looking like they were having a really good run, but they've kind of come back down to earth. So, you know how it is in baseball. We talk about this all the time. You got the 60. They are going to win 60, and you're going to lose 60. It's those other. And right now, it seems like the Braves are winning some of those types of games that are games that they were losing every single one of them. And now they're starting to win some of those games that kind of build your total. Wherever you're going to land between 60 and 100, it's based on those games that are in the lurch, the ones you pull out.
Exactly, and while the pitching is sort of still hanging in there, almost in every other night kind of thing lately, the hitting has come up so that they're getting 3 to 5 or 6 runs a game now, and that's keeping them in games, both the pitching and the hitting, and that's why we're getting a little bit more competitive and things are looking a little bit brighter in Atlanta, in fact, literally as well as figuratively, since the storm just passed over Turnerfield, and they'll be able to get the game in tonight. But, I see a little bit more going that we'd been hoping for, and we're just trying to hold the pitching together right now because there's been a couple of injuries lately that you're trying to get past.
Well, speaking of pitching, what's latest that you're hearing on the Julio front as far as whether or not he'll be a chip that will be used?
Well, the funny part is I've been looking at arguments on Twitter a lot about how good Julio Teheran really is. Yeah, this year he had, of balls that are put in play off the bat by him. His BABIP, the batting average for balls in play, is 209 against. That means hitters that are putting the ball in play have a 209 hitting average. That's the second best in baseball among qualified starters right now. A lot of people don't think that's sustainable, but I'm trying to figure out, well, is it or not? Because Julio Teheran is a guy who tries not to pitch to contact. He tries to avoid bats where possible and at least get soft contact whenever he does. A lot of pop-ups, a lot of grounders, things like that. Now, when he gets figured out and somebody guesses right, yeah, they're going to hit it and hit it hard, but that's not been happening very much this year, obviously. He's leaving a lot more guys on base. His left on base percentage is higher. His strikeouts and walks are a little bit better. That batting average on balls in play is way down. Line drive rates are way down, too. So he's having a stellar year. The question is, and this is where you're trying to figure out his value for trade, is all that sustainable? And right now, either whether you think it's sustainable or not, even if it comes back a little bit towards career norms, he's still the best value out there in terms of a trade chip for starting pitching in the entire major leagues. I mean, for the rest of his contract, if you don't take his option in 2020, and you'd be a fool if you didn't, he's going to make just under $30 million for the remainder of that contract through 2019. Take Boston, for instance. David Price is going to make $30 million this year, and he's not pitching right that well. That's certainly a team that could really use him. They've only got one guy who's pitching very well. And, oh, by the way, he's also out pitching his peripherals just like Julio Teheran is. That's Stephen Wright. And, yeah, Boston is almost in a free fall right now, and they're probably having a lot of internal wrangling to try and see, do we want to come up and meet the Braves' price for Teheran? It's going to be steep. They're going to have to very significantly overpay. But right now, Boston is looking at it. The Los Angeles Dodgers are looking at it. And right now, it's just a matter of who's going to blink first, if anybody. It's a steep price, and it's going to be a tough one to pay. But if they do it, then Teheran's gone. But if not, then that's probably good for the Atlanta Braves for the next two or three years.
Alan Carpenter with us, TomahawkTake.com, talking some Atlanta Braves. Of course, tonight they'll tee it up against the Cleveland Indians once again, 6:10 start time. We will not have the game tonight on the ump as we have game two of the College World Series. Having said that, you want to talk about monster months. How about the month that Freddie Freeman has had? In the month of June, he's hitting .355 with five home runs and 13 RBI. And having 13 RBI on this team is a big deal because there's just nobody on base. And you look at the way Freddie has hit here, and it now seems like a million years ago when he started the season out and looking so bad, and we're saying, well, you wonder whether or not this is, you know, this is something that's terminal. Well, he's now starting to hit to the back of his card as well, over .285, I think, now for the season, and 13 home runs, 28 RBI. You hope that the RBI title or total can come up. It's the only thing out of those numbers that you're reliant on somebody else for, other than the fact that nobody pitches around anybody on this, on this team. But talk about Freddie Freeman a little bit and the run that he's on right now.
Well, yeah, he's actually up to .442 in the last 2 weeks, where he's really been on this incredible tear. He's doing what I'd hoped he would do earlier in the season. A lot of teams have been putting a shift on him, and he's been trying to figure out how to beat it. Now he's beating it, and he's going ahead and hitting line drives regardless whether the defense is stacked up against him or not. He's going gap to gap. He's hitting even home runs to left field on occasion. He's just spraying the ball all over the place and hitting it with authority. That's something he was definitely not doing at the beginning of the year. He was getting a lot of weak contact, and it just wasn't working for him. But he's finally got himself in gear, and yeah, he's definitely on a roll to the point that teams are starting to avoid him now and walking him more, which is understandable. But at the same time, everybody else is getting a little bit better pitches to hit around him, and generating some offense and some significant offense as well.
I see my boy Dansby Swanson is going to represent the Braves at the Futures game in San Diego, number one pick in the draft last year. So it'll be very, very exciting to see how he does in that game. He'll be playing for, of course, the United States there. And, you know, he's ranked right there at the top of the Braves prospect list. Talk about Dansby and how things have been progressing for him on the farm.
Dansby's been doing a little bit better lately. He had a slump there at the beginning of June or so, but he has started to pick up his hitting again lately. I remember a couple of nights ago in a late-inning situation, he had Kyle Tate, the voice of the Mississippi Braves, chronicled an at-bat that he had that was key in a game where he got down 0-2 in a hurry and then continued to milk that at bat for about 10 more pitches and then finally laced a double to the right field corner that ended up being key in that game. That's the kind of guy he is, and that's the kind of hitter he is, because he is not going to give up on the ball. He's not going to give up on an at bat. He is going to work you, and he's going to work to drive the ball. When I saw him play in Pensacola, he was definitely driving the ball. He almost had a home run that day, hitting one off the top of the wall. And I tell you, I really like the way his shortstop play is going as well. He's got a smoothness to him that you like to see out of that position, and he's got an excellent arm to get these balls in the gap that be the long throw to first base. I really like this guy, and I think he's going to be good for a long time, and I'm glad to see him on the Futures team because, frankly, he's earned it.
Alan Carpenter with us, TomahawkTake.com. All right, what else do you have in your little stack of notes? I know you do great prep for the interview, so tell us some of the other things that you've got there and other news from the farm.
Well, I'll tell you, the interesting thing that's coming up, there's two things interesting coming up this week. One is the start of the international signing market. That happens on Saturday, July 2nd, where the Braves are expected to spend big bucks, really more than their technically allowed, but they're willing to accept that penalty to get a whole bunch of new kids, new teenagers from Latin America signed in. Number one in that class is going to be Kevin Maitan, who the Braves are strongly linked to, and he is expected to be an almost generational prospect that they're going to get. He is a shortstop currently, but he's also a 6'2" teenager who can drive the ball as well, and he's expected to be an excellent hitter with a smoothness to him that you don't normally see at that age. So that's exciting to see. They're also going to get probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 other guys signed in the top 50 international prospects as well. So that's going to reinfuse the farm with even more guys that are top prospects. Also, on Sunday, everybody tune to ESPN at 7 o'clock Sunday night. The Braves and Marlins have the Sunday night ESPN game. It's at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. They have done an amazing job transforming a old discarded golf course into a full-size major league facility with just all the amenities you like to see. It looks like a spring training facility, to be honest. It's got 12,500 seats. They're all going to be for the military, and ESPN is going to broadcast from there. They got lights set up. They got locker rooms set up. They got concessions. They got scoreboards. They got everything that looks like a major league facility that sprung up here in the last 4 months. It's an awesome facility. We've been writing about it on Tomahawk Take and talking to some of the folks that have been responsible for getting some of the information out to the media about how it was done and the kinds of work that was done to get it accomplished. It's really an amazing transformation that has been done over the last 4 months. And it's all going to be showcased as a gift to the military from the Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Association. And that's happening July 3rd, Sunday night.
That's going to be really cool. Have you heard anything yet about the special uniforms they're wearing for that game? If they're going to be doing, I mean, are the Braves just wearing a regular Sundays? I know there's a goofy-looking hat that all of the teams are wearing for the 4th of July. I said it's a terrible-looking hat. That's like a trucker's hat. I mean, they got to stop jerking around with these uniforms. But do you know anything about throwbacks or anything like that the Marlins and the Braves might be wearing?
I have been looking for that, but I have not seen anything yet. Now, I will say that They do have a special uniform that they have brought out for a few occasions, 4th of July being one, where they take the script names and stuff for on the uniforms and put a little American flag kind of motif in, right, inside there. And that may be what they have in mind, but I have not seen anything official yet about what they have, what they're intending to do. But I do expect something different. I do expect something special, because this is definitely going to be a big big deal. And hopefully it's the start of something that they're going to do at least annually, but we'll see how it goes.
Have they worn those red ones this year? Have they been wearing the red ones on Friday night or anything? The ones with the Braves in red, white, and blue, you know, the stars and stripes in the word mark and you know, the red jerseys?
Well, that's the one I'm thinking they may break out again Sunday. The general red uniforms, the ones they used to wear on Sunday a couple of years ago, have more or less been mothballed, and they've gone with that cream alternate home uniform instead, which is kind of nice too. But I do expect that it's going to be the red jerseys with the stars and stripes names on it. But we'll see what happens. I, as I say, I haven't seen anything, but we're looking for that information.
Somebody needs to get mothballs on that blue jersey, man. That blue with the blue numbers and the blue Braves on the front. That's just a terrible looking gear. All right, before I let you go, just your thoughts on the night that Chris Bryant had. I mean, any baseball fan has to appreciate a guy having three home runs and two doubles. That doesn't happen. And Bryant and Rizzo, I mean, we talk about, you know, how anemic the Braves offense is, and how excited that Freddie has 13 home runs and 28 RBI now. How about Bryant with 21 home runs and 57 RBI, and Anthony Rizzo with 18 home runs and 55 RBI? I mean, that's just sick.
Well, even as the anemic Braves offense hasn't been generating home runs, the entire rest of the major leagues has been making up for it. They're on a pace to beat an all-time record, I think, for home runs for the season for all major leaguers. But, you know, it's no surprise to me that this happened in Cincinnati. You know, you get a place like Cincinnati, Coors, or Philadelphia, and they're bandboxes. And if you're going to hit anything, if you're going to have a big game there, get up in the air and let it fly, then it's going to happen there. I don't want to take a lot away from these guys, because obviously they've been doing it all year, but certainly they have a much better opportunity to do it in a place like Cincinnati than they do anywhere else. But, yeah, if I had a guy like Chris Bryant on our team, whew, lights out, that'd be great.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, man, appreciate you. As always, tremendous work, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next time. Come back down here now. We'll be back here on July 19th.
Outstanding. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, man.